Blog Talk Radio.
Watching you as you're dreaming, the dreams I thought I knew. Your smile shows the reason I watched it all come true. Your touch is cold and distant,
it's on me. I never know if there's more things coming after the song. That was The Words You Cannot Say, put to music by Shout Even Shy. The words were from our own Jay Hatter. You can probably bump into him if you look not too hard to find. This is a Team of Voices production of tonight's show. What do I call myself again? Off the Rack. And I'm your host, Raconteur. Yeah, I'm still me. And it's brought to you by the A.P. Taylor Poetry Foundation. And you can find us on the allpoetry.com website. You don't have to look very hard, and it's free to join. If you poke around a little bit and you find us, just knock on the door, and somebody will probably let you in. We're a friendly bunch. And we certainly know how to run our mouths, which is kind of what I like to do. So that's why we're here. Tonight we're going to be talking about a topic, a lot of us, I guess, consider ourselves writers. You know, I guess by putting pen to paper, good or bad or indifferent, we become writers in one fashion or another. It's just, I guess, to what degree we manage to skill level out, we bring ourselves to. So tonight was inspired by a thought of a turn of phrase you've probably heard. You know, people talk about guilt trips. And I just thought that was like such a brilliant turn of phrase because, you know, you take a word like a trip and, you know, it means like going someplace and then you add the word guilt to it and it kind of changes the meaning a little bit. And then when you go on a trip, sometimes you bring back souvenirs. So the idea really lends itself to the whole, it's for me anyway, the whole thought of, you know, you don't even need another person to have a guilt trip. You know, sometimes just going in the refrigerator and eating something that you know you shouldn't be eating and you give yourself your own guilt trip. So you can do these things all on your own and, you know, if it finds its way onto the paper, and here we are. I've got my co-host tonight watching the studio for me is Miss Deborah Lee. Say hi, Debs.
Hi, Debs. Speaking of watching the video, I'm doing well. I hope you are, too. And speaking of watching the studio, we have a couple guests for you. We have the one and only beautiful Sweet Pea.
No, we don't.
We do, we do. Hey, Sweet.
Hey, darling.
Hey.
And we also have the writer of that amazing song poem we just heard, my big brother Jay Hatter. Hey, Hatter.
Hey.
Glad to
hey,
you're
cackalack. You're cackalacking a little bit. Is it just me?
Both of us. Both of us. One of us. All of us.
Just me.
Yeah. Let me call back. Let me call back. It's me. Let me call back.
Help fight crack. So, like I said,
is it gone now?
Well, he said he was disconnecting, reconnecting, so.
I think it might be me, though. Am I cracking now?
A little bit.
Am I cracking?
You're popping in and out a little bit, but you're still intelligible.
Mm-hmm. All right, I'm going to mute this phone and dial in on the other one, and maybe that'll be better. Because I can't get into the studio without this phone. So I'll be back in a second. Chat amongst yourself, you two.
They don't want to leave us two alone like that. Guilt trips, huh? So yeah.
Leaving us alone hurt me, huh?
I'm sorry?
I said leaving us alone would be a Sunday night show in a heartbeat.
Nah. We're not that out of control, I don't think. But
no, I don't think so either.
Again, the idea of, you know, it especially lends itself, I think, to sarcasm, the idea of a guilt trip, you know, when two people are, you know, having a conversation or whatever, and it's something that just kind of doesn't go away. It's the thing that keeps on giving, and you want to forget it, but, you know, it's that nagging feeling. You know, the little angel and devil on your shoulder sometimes that tells you, you know, I should, I shouldn't.
Oh, I know. I have that angel on my shoulder every day.
And the thing of it, too, I find ironic is that, you know, other people can you know, cause you guilt or give you guilt trips or, you know, well, I guess you can only make yourself have that guilt trip, but you know, you don't even need another person to do that.
I don't know. Have you met my mother?
Hatter and I are back.
All hey right. Guys. So we've got a couple of poems tonight, a little more than usual. So I think we could just dive right in. I think we've got an audio clip from our friend Titus, and he sometimes stays up to listen. So I'd like to get that played first so that he can enjoy the fruits of his labors. And then if you've got time constraints, Sweet, we could do you right after that.
All right.
And I'm taking for granted that Hatter doesn't have a time constraint because he showed up with Deb. But, you know, if speak up if you need to run, Hatter, because we'll put you up soon, too.
Okay, I'm finishing up a piece real quick. It shouldn't take long, so I'm sort
awesome.
Of trying to hurry. Cool.
All right.
You don't like the one that, you don't like the one that you brought, Hatter?
Yeah, but this is. I'll explain why. Yeah, there's the other one.
Okay. Yeah, no problem. Rack and Tour, the poem is on the board, so just tell me when you're ready for me to push play.
This is our dear friend Titus.
I'll not read nor hear your words. Poetry was that long-distance affair. It was never from choice to have me write. A letter may be when she wasn't there. I'd lock myself away each lonely night. I'd fallen for the classics from a time two 18th century poets who had passed. The lyrical and blessed subtle rhyme intrigued me not to leave until at last freedom was given to write as many reams as there are poets in the world as are the words. As I recall the precious dreams I've left behind, a team of voices far, I'll let you know a guilt trip this is not. The closer I became, I could but cherish words, a pretty bird it was. If I forgot, how guilty would my feelings be, selfish. It is a guilt trip, Deborah Lee, kindness, the utmost care you have given my wish to have her read my words, she will not peer. If should I die, to have her praise me now, to hear them even worse, to have her hear. Your thoughts, sweet pea, a moment to avow, Dave Prophet will have benefited wise. To commandeer the voice of one demand, should merely words be opening her eyes. A guilt trip this would be, not hand in hand, to understand what missing me will do, to listen to my words, to hear her cry. Because of absence, words of I love you.
I love that. You know, I see the parallel, I think, that you're drawing between guilty pleasures and guilt trips. You know, at least that's kind of what I'm getting from it, and I wholeheartedly agree. You know, we've got a lot of personalities here, and you know, sometimes we feel a little selfish, a little guilty, and we want to make demands of people's times that we can't, you know, and we want to claim, like, you know, oh yeah, you know, I know Titus. Titus mentioned me in his poem, was, you know, things like that. It could be cool. It's almost like, you know, a celebrity type thing for me. You know, just another you know, self-absorbed guy on a podcast. It's not even my own podcast, damn it. But you know, I enjoy your work, Titus, and I especially enjoy you know, the language that you choose, with the people you've been inspired by, the influence, I think, of your reading and your education comes out every time, and it's beautiful to, every time you share. I enjoy it. Thank you very much. Deb, what'd you think?
You know, I got to hear this before, and hearing it again, it is every bit as powerful emotionally as it was the first time. And he always has such a way with words and such a way of making the people that he speaks of in his poetry feel special. And this was sort of like he knew he was on his way to start a mega job that's going to tie up a lot of his time. And what I wrote in part of my comment is that I feel extra special that you took the time to say, see you later. And I refused to believe that it's a final goodbye. And I'm touched at the way you worked a team of he worked a team of voices into the poem. It's like when these types of things happen, I don't know about the rest of you guys, but the sweet acknowledgments make everything worthwhile. You know, the work that we do to put these shows together, and none of them would be anywhere near as special without the amazing poets that contribute. And Titus is one of the amazing contributors that make the show special. And his heart shows when he writes these poems. And like I don't have the count in front of me right this minute, but I am fairly sure that his Earth Angels collection is over 200 fellow poets that have been paid tribute in that collection. So it's mind-blowing to hear him read and read his work and just have him as part of this big poetry family. Thank you for sharing this one, Titus.
Awesome comment. What'd you think, sweet?
Well, first off, just to be in the realm of, you know, mentioned of the great poets that he mentions, and to be mentioned by Titus is an honor and a privilege, and, you know, it's something that I'm truly grateful. Titus's resume, just his knowledge of poetry, his educational forum on poetry and what he does for a living and the books he has out, and he's just amazing. As far as someone who understands poetry. So to be mentioned is just something that's brilliant as far as I'm concerned. The poem is worth it. I mean, let's just put that right out. It's almost like a love letter to say goodbye, to, like, I'm not breaking up with you. So that, you know, I still love you. You're in my heart. I'm going to come back. We just have to part for a little while. So don't go out and find someone else. Just, this isn't goodbye. You know, you're always going to be in my heart. It's almost like a soldier going off to war, a sailor that has to go somewhere else. And I'm going to miss you as much as you're going to miss me. And that's kind of, I love the simplicity of the goodbye with all the complications of, I'm always going to have you here, even though we can't be eye to eye or speak every day. So I really love the complexity of that, and it's all there. And thank you, Titus.
Yeah, I get that feeling as well. That, you know, there's a little pang of guilt that he doesn't have the time to spend, and you know, he has to choose between who he can mention and who he can spend time with and whatnot. Mm-hmm. I definitely got that as well from the piece. Great comment, sweet. Hatter, you get the last word. But you got to take it off mute so that we could hear it.
Well, it was the greatest excuse of the world. I missed it. My phone locked up. I'm sitting here panicking. I wasn't able to follow, so I don't think I can give a good one.
No worries. We are experiencing technical difficulties.
Okay.
Thanks, Hatter.
Yeah.
All right. You want to read next, Sweet? You got time to hang out?
Yeah, I actually have my poem on the board, but you can't see it.
Thank you, dear.
All right. A little history behind this poem. I have a friend of mine who's gay. And I have fought for her for many years. She came out in 1983, and we were in high school. So it was like actually 1981. And she had a really hard time with her parents because 1981 was a very difficult time for a teenager to come out. And this poem I wrote for her, and this is a lot of trouble she got into. So this is kind of a guilt trip that was laid out to her most of her life, and I love her very much. We've been best friends for over 40 years. So this is kind of her story. And it's called Lie to Her. Lie to her, ebony robes shine, sell my soul to race, to east fools, 12 pairs of eyes bore into my skin. Sex, self-ordained disciples, convinced I'm a sin. lie to her the time and time again. I alone have the ability for my mother to enter the pearly gates peacefully, lie to her, stop her suffering. I seek no cruelty, bent down upon my knees to pray to her holy deity. I took my mother's frail and weakened hand, memories stuttered, hands never strong, hands strong, never hesitated to execute a childhood reprimand. Listen, Mama. I have things to say. Inside, I cried and ran away. Six disciples started to protest. I drowned out their cacophony of self-appointed righteousness. Mother, forever we are bound. I'm your child. Nothing changes its fate. No ignorant speeches of denial. I'm not your twisted child. I'm a woman that fell in love with a woman. Love does not damn us. So fiery hell, you are a beast. Preacher taught me. Love is patient, love is kind, a verse in my heart and mind. Mama, I learned to love by watching you. I learned to live by loving her. Mama, when you meet God, I think she will have some things to say about me. If I'm nobody, who are you? I know I'm a daughter, so forgive. I forgive you, Mama, for not understanding me. I love you for all I am and all I will be. I hold no anger, the past released. I love you, Mama. Close your eyes. Rest in peace. In home.
You know, that's so beautiful. My mind started spinning when you got to the middle. I can't quote. You hit the nail on the head in so many ways with this. And at the end, you know, it turns into almost a judgment type thing. And, you know, you choose to make the person feel guilty about it, whether you know it or not. And obviously it's wrong, but, you know, the feelings that are attached to it, it's really hard to step outside of yourself when someone's looking at you like that and say, you know, you don't understand that it's not, I'm not doing this by choice. So I forgive you for judging me like that. And, you know, I think that's kind of what you're trying to say. And, you know, that to me is the right attitude to have about something like that, because, you know, you are who you are, and you don't need to make excuses for it. And somebody that loves and accepts you isn't going to make you feel guilty about it or even judge you for it. And, you know, unfortunately in the world and the climate, sometimes people do it without even thinking about it, that they can't help themselves. That was how they were brought up. That was how they were taught. And it just falls out of their face, and they don't realize the damage that they do sometimes, or the people that they alienate, you know. When you're friends with someone, especially, you know, you kind of take it for granted that you could express your feelings without worrying about blowback, or, you know, expecting honesty from somebody because you're friends. You know, it's like, I could tell you what's in my heart because you're my friend. And then to be vilified for something like that, it's just so painful. And I think you captured that beautifully in this. This is lovely. Hatter, can you comment for Sweet Pea?
Yeah, no, you're right. It's easy to judge someone when they're not acting or saying the things you think they should, because you don't know the circumstances. I mean, is it selfish or wrong to wish the passing of someone because you know the pain they're in, or is it wrong to wish them not to pass? Because you don't want them to, you know. I said that terribly wrong. I think you know what I'm hoping. You know what I mean. It's.
I think I know what you're trying to say. You can't judge them for what's in their heart.
Yeah, and it's more. You know, I've been through that a couple of times, and it's like I feared the judgment of others because I didn't want to share what I knew or my feelings, but I could see it in their eyes. Like they're looking at me, you cold bastard, you know,
you did what?
So yeah, you gotta understand that you don't know, you're not in the know. So maybe there are things you don't know, the regrets, the fear of it all too.
I mean, at the end of the day, I think you can't really know because it's their life. They're the ones that have to live it. So, you know, you don't realize it unless they express it, and that's not something that they're going to put out there on Front Street. It's not like they're going to say, you know, how hard it is to be, you know. Anyway, yeah, good comment.
That's a souvenir you'll carry with you the rest of your life, too, so.
Yeah, yeah. And Deb, can you comment this tweet?
Thank you, Jay. That was beautiful.
Sweet, I'm so moved by this. I'm trying not to cry. For one, from the fact that you're the daughter who forgives, that's amazing. But that little closing stanza, like that note, I forgive you, Mama. It's a powerhouse, and I'm blown away that I've never heard this one before. It's now on three lists. It blew me away. What else can I say?
Thank you. I'm surprised I've read one you've never heard. Oh my God.
Amazing.
It's a beautiful piece. All right. Did you brought something, Deb? Did you want to put yours up next? Did you got any shows to push, Sweet?
I actually put up a topic board for May. I went through and did a little topic board that lists all my May shows, so I can give you a rundown of what is happening in May real quick.
Yes, please.
Let me see if I can find my little board. It's Sweet Pea's list of May shows. So my May 4th topic is going to be poison. Describe something toxic and its effects on a person. My May 10th topic is suspicion, a crime, a spouse, a child, trust, doubt. May 17th topic is trapped. Are you trapped in a job, a relationship, in a rut, in a nightmare, or a daydream? May 24th is paranoia. I'm going to look for songs about someone always watching you. Some of the song topics are Jeff Bill Toll. He's watching me, watching you, watching him, watching me. I'm watching you, watching me, watching scared. Then there's, of course, the police. Every breath you take, every move you make, every bond you break, every step you take, I'll be watching you. And mother faces, you don't know anything, and you don't know what's happening. A chocolate is like everything. There is no you and me. That's why I'm all at sea. So every drink, some more. Everyone drank some more, and everyone giggled at the bore. The all out of hindsight makes me blind. What's more, I like watching each sleep. And any other suggestions you want I end me with, we're going to look at paranoia. And May 31st, my topic is my attic or other safe places you go to cry. Or do you release the pain to forgive the stain to wipe away all the darkness you feel you need them? So those are my general topics, and then each week I will put up an actual topic board for that night, that week. So that is my plan for the month of May.
Don't you have Sky tied up in your attic?
Yeah, well, Sky's in my attic, but I don't know where she goes other than there to be safe. But, yeah. So that's what May looks like for me.
Awesome. And then I guess that's what May is going to look like for the rest of us, too.
I hope you guys would like to join me on one or two of those at least.
That'll be on Thursdays, if I'm not mistaken.
Thursdays.
At 10 p.m. Eastern?
10 p.m. Eastern, Thursday night.
Awesome. I look forward to seeing you then. May the 4th be with you.
May the 4th be with me.
Deb, I kind of introduced you and then cut you off with CP. So, did you want to go next or?
Yeah, no, I put it on the board, but I have to admit here that I am actually kind of glad that she went over those shows and stuff, because I was about to say, oh sure, make me go after Sweet, but she changed the air just a little bit, so I'll give it a whirl. Damn. Okay. Yeah. Let me get back to the board. All right. Here we go. Mine is called Weightlifting the Spiel You Stored in My Brain. 1. You spoon-feed me lines of crap topped with dollops of whipped cream with a plump red cherry on the peak. But that cherry is just window dressing, camouflaging the steam rising off the pile, and that dung pile perfume fills the room as you reek. Now the stench that is surfing the air matches the breaths oozing out of that mouth from lips you flap just to hear yourself speak. 2. Dumping the baggage you stored in my brain today as 10 little fingertips stockpile the broken remnants. Remnants from the guilt trip you laid on me, then stacking them with the mound of twisted lies. Then, as the booby traps that you loaded snap, slamming you in the ass with the door, the panel shoves you outside and we scream the goodbyes. 3. Dance on eggshells now, and shoulders do not weightlift your spiel as you play me. Eyes stop spilling the saltwater blueprints you follow to tie me in knots as you sightsee. So just call me the laser knife, baby, and you're the surgically removed debris.
Wow. You know, you bring to mind when people try and put that on you and make you feel guilty about, you know, something that you do. There's something about that just is so wrong, because, you know, it's almost like taking advantage of a friendship or, you know, just playing on somebody's feelings, I think, because how does that expression go? The only people that can hurt you are the ones that you care about or the ones that you love, because, you know, you let your defenses down around the people you care about, even if you kind of don't even know them sometimes. Someone wants to take advantage of what you're saying. It's just, you know, It's a way of doing things, I think, that is just so insidious, because, you know, they try and turn it around and make it on you when you know, you're just, you know, trying to be innocent or whatever, but you know, that they want you to think like it's your fault, you know, or even when a situation arises and they want to get out of it. So rather than take the blame or say, you know, oh, I just don't feel like doing it or whatever, they try and say, well, because you did this, you know what, I'm not going to do it. You know, and they try and make it your fault. And yeah, there's a lot of emotion packed in this, Deb. I really appreciate it. Lovely piece. Painful.
Thank you, Matthew.
Hatter, what'd you think?
Yeah, wondering who you're talking about here.
Hold on, 1 second. I don't know how long he's been in there, but we have EP in the studio.
Out of the blue.
From Added Country.
EP.
Hello, Brack. How are you?
We're doing okay tonight. A little better now that you're
Great
here, course. Too. Found out the crowd.
Oh, there you go. There you go. Well, I'm
just getting some comments
sitting here. I'm waiting for Hatter to make some comments. I'm sitting here guilt-striven in Melbourne Airport, not moving.
Sorry, Hatter. Go ahead.
Oh, that's right. It's like recruiting people to share your lies or your actions, and then wondering when they become knowledge, or you have the knowledge of what's going on, now you're going to have to cover your bases as you backpedal, and I don't know what else. that close.
I'm sure she'll tell you it's whatever you say. But you know, there's something to be said about, you know, what you're saying about recruiting people, because, you know, when you think you're right, you always want to find someone to agree with you and go, yeah, you know, that always makes you feel that much more righteous, to be sure. But, you know.
Yeah, to find out that you're now in one of two camps that you didn't know you were in. because you want to be a trustworthy friend, and then you decide, and then find out that the whole thing is not really above board, you know.
Isn't that right, Sweet Pea?
Patter. Oh, absolutely.
That's right. I think that's what
because you know,
correct.
Black can be gray, and inside gray is white. So technically, black can actually be white. If you say it's white, I can say it's kind of gray, which actually can be white. So your black can be my white. And if you're not quite sure why I say that, let me show you that if I put black light on gray, I can also see white specks. So technically, if you want to say it's black, I'm going to say it's white. And I can really sell that to you if you are gullible enough to listen.
Unless I say, what's no color, black or white? You'd think, well, black, there's nothing in it.
It's
wrong.
Always black. So therefore, if no color is no color, then actually black is black. Or clear.
Maybe it's not.
Or
all
with
colors
color.
Is white.
No. Why are you going to make the black thing? Stop. I'm sorry. AP, you're
you know,
in the airport.
I'm just saying.
You're in the airport.
Down, this is a fabulous poem, and I love it. And in other words, don't take shit from anybody. I like it.
Thank you, Sweet. I appreciate that. And Hatter, the poem is not about you. Just saying.
Thank you. Okay.
I imagine Hatter's breath is as fresh as a daisy. And AP, I guess you're in the airport. Probably got a timetable to keep.
Well, if somebody can actually get me on a plane that gets in the air, that would be great. There's only about three planes that have left here in the last hour, which is a good 25 less than normal, maybe 30. And so, you know, who knows when, as they say in the classics. But my corporate travel agent is telling me I'm getting on a plane in an hour, which is not bad, I guess, for the business of three.
Where are you?
He's
Melbourne.
In the airport.
I'm supposed to be in Sydney. I was supposed to be in a meeting in Sydney. Oh, about half an hour ago. But that's okay. Feeding text messages and stuff. But I do have a poem for you though, Rack. And unsurprisingly, it's on my current circumstances, sort of mixed with guilt. If that's okay.
That's fine.
You ready?
Do we get frequent flyer miles for going on this guilt trip?
Hey, those are mine.
More than I'm getting at the minute. Anyway, this is being stuck, Brack.
Alrighty.
And it goes a little bit like this. The guilt is such that it is ladled heavy on with the clarity of a voice into mic. The crowd stride as uniform badges don, for outside discover there's a strike. Planes don't go anywhere absent fuel, a little like the guilt-ridden. And here we are stuck in action cruel, while a guilt-wielding airline bidden. Three planes left in the last hour, a total compared to Norm Skinny, and the mood here is rather sour. Not one of those going to Sydney. So we wait in the sunshine here. I'm sure the refueler's guilt-rid. Nah, they're probably with a snag and a beer. Who am I trying to kid? In home.
Oh, I love how you can take the topic, because I intentionally try and make it a little open-ended and conform it to exactly what you're going through at the moment. It's one of those things, I think you probably find it cathartic like I do, to especially
yes.
When you're in the midst of it. and that close about, you know, who am I trying to kid? We want to believe the best sometimes, but, you know, the reality of it sometimes just is a little more overwhelming than, like, yeah, not likely. But, you know, I can hope.
They could hold. The union would have taken them out, have the barbecue on, they'll be sizzling away with the sausages and steak and having a beer. That's what's happening at the minute.
Oh, and they're fueling the barbecue with the jet engine? Anyway.
Probably fueling it with the jet fuel. Well, no, they're not fueling the jets with it, so they might as well be fueling the barbecue with it. You know, right? All things being equal.
Hatter, can you comment for AP?
Yeah.
That was lovely, AP.
Yeah. AP, you should be grateful to a point. In my point is that a gentleman named of Moran Karimi Nasri died at the Paris Airport, Charles de Gaulle Airport. He was stuck in there for 18 years. My Lord.
Well, that's true. I did hear about him.
Years.
And if you've been to Charles de Gaulle Airport, you know that that's actually not a good place to be. Like, it's not Parisian. Well, it's Parisian from the 1960s. It's full of, like, concrete and pebble stones and queues that go everywhere because it was designed 50 years ago. So that's actually like being in hell, Hatter.
Absolutely. Yeah, I read, like, read that. I read the situation of how that event happened, and it was all about refugee status and nobody wanted to claim. Yeah, it was a poor man. And then he stuck in the airport. He wasn't allowed to leave.
Anyway, here we are.
Great. That was a great effect, AP. April, we're talking about get that the background.
Yeah, we'll work it out. You can hear lots of announcements going on. No planes going, lots of announcements.
So what do you expect to get out of there?
A couple of hours. I'll be up in Sydney by 5:00. That'll be cool. So that's the hope.
You almost need to turn around and go home. You missed the meeting already by the time you get there.
Oh, no, I've already cancelled 2, Rack, so that's pretty fine. Yeah, well, that's okay.
Hey, Sweepy, what do you think of AP's traveling itinerary?
Well, usually I'm very jealous of where AP is. New Zealand, Australia, London, France, wherever he is, he's always, heading off somewhere beautiful and sending me pictures of all these places. But I am actually feeling sorry for him because an airport is an airport and stuck in one is stuck in. So I'm sorry that you're dealing with this in these travels, but your poem expresses it beautifully, painfully, and all of the horrible things about being in an airport and being stuck. So just right there, I can feel your pain, and I don't care what country you're in or where you're at, but at least you're not, I would say, like in Singapore or, some god-awful place where they let the pigs and the sheep roam around your feet while you're at the airport. So I'm going to say I'm glad you're in a modern airport where you're
this
not,
is true.
I'm in a
perfectly boring, modern, air-conditioned airport. With no planes traveling, but you're right. I could be in Kazakhstan.
Right, there's no goat sitting next to you.
Is everybody wearing masks?
No. The whole mask thing's got sort of thrown away and thrown through a jet engine header.
I'm more concerned that he has gone on and his luggage didn't keep going ahead.
This flight will be departing from gate round 23. Well, at least we got the first flight going. 750 metres away. But no, they actually took that plane 25 minutes down the road to Avalon. They flew it like 40 kilometres down to the nearest airport, fueled it up, and then flew it back.
It wasn't me, or did that woman have the strangest accent over the speaker?
Accents over speakers are bad, but that's a classic Australian accent, by the way. It's just that when you start too many of them, bloody over the air, 4%. So they don't sound like
about,
me. Normal Australians don't sound like me.
I'm about ready to be the one with the accent. I'll be somewhere where I have an accent.
You will be.
You are.
Yeah, join
so
the club.
Wondering what I'm gonna
You may actually get stuck in the airport, Hatter, and not get to Australia.
He's okay to come in. He's not going back for 3 weeks. Might sort it out the strike by then. Hopefully.
Hey, I'll be talking Australian by the time I get back.
Look, we'll get the accent straightened out, Hatter. It's okay. It's all good.
Yeah, last time I was hanging with somebody from another country, I was told, you can't say that to English lady. I can't.
Oh, no.
Sorry.
No, not. It's all good. Anyway.
It's all decorum. It's all decorum. Dad, can you comment to AP?
Yes, actually, what I just wrote was that I'm totally shocked that he didn't just find a way to go grab that fuel hose and fill that plane up himself, because he is kind of a takeover control kind of guy, after all. But
I could do that. They wouldn't let me on the bloody tarmac, but I would do it. I was in the oil industry for all these years. I would do it. The union people would kill me, but I would do it.
I could picture you doing that. I truly
could. I would.
But
unfortunately...
And I'm sorry that you're missing your meetings.
No, thank you.
As easily as he could probably fill up the plane, I think the minute he hit the tarmac, he'd get arrested.
Probably. The moon boot wouldn't help either, by the way.
I'm just putting the fuel in. Leave me alone.
That's right. I've got a moon boot on. What's that? I'm actually helping. That's not
funny.
The pipes are under the bloody ground. You just got to screw the damn pipe on them. It's not. It is a pretty damn simple job. I mean, really, all the fuel lines are sort of underneath the tarmac here. It's not like we're in, you know, Tibet. You know, you just screw one hose onto another. It's pretty damn easy.
I felt guilty sitting here just twiddling my thumbs. I figured I'd be proactive and come out and help.
That's it. That's exactly right. Just give me the keys. You know, we'll sort it out.
Thank you, AP.
Okay. Well, in the absence of me going out in my moon boot to hop up on a stand and put a jet connection into a wing, I am going to attempt to find some food and then wander back to the plane and hope it actually boards. So... we will catch you all soon, probably from Sydney, hopefully. Fingers crossed.
Do you come close to push, AP?
Okay.
Morning, everybody. I'm coming.
Take care.
I'll be back by then.
Morning, everybody. How are you coming?
Back in a couple of days. It's all good, Hannah, I think. Well, there's no strike in Sydney. Yeah. Well, not yet. So anyway, I should be able to find my way back here if I can ever get off the ground. So.
All right, AP.
Hey, but the question is, AP, in an emergency... In emergency, could you land that plane?
No. No.
Okay.
Completely honestly, no. No, I couldn't. Maybe a Cessna, but not a 737. They're too hard. You need expertise. Okay.
In an emergency, he could do it. He may need some assistance. He follows instructions well. He's an intelligent man, and he's not going to make himself fall.
I agree with Sweet.
Yeah, I picture him grabbing a parachute and just jumping out the side.
I'm sure you could sort it. What you
I go to a lot of balloon rides. Yeah, hot air balloon rides, right? Thank you.
No, don't talk to me about that. Scary stuff. Anyway, I'm out of here. I'll take a parachute or fuel a plane or something. Yeah. Okay, talk soon. Okay.
Just regular
hi.
DB Cooper.
Be safe.
Maybe he's DB Cooper, huh?
That's what I was implying. Sir, you caught that. Anyway. All right. That brings us to you. If you're done, Hatter, you can put yours up, or we can do I think it was Jenny's got a SoundCloud for us.
Whatever you
she
wish.
Does, yes.
Are you done? Are you ready to read, Hatter?
Yeah. Yeah, I got the one that I posted. How long has this show been postponed? 2 weeks?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
2 weeks, okay. Yeah, I had one. Okay, I put it up
okay,
there.
Well, I was just going to go get it. There you go.
I vaguely remember writing this, so I hope it's decent. My broken heart remains the same, and that's my blue dog. It goes like this. The thing that weighs me down today, a thing I don't much want to say, my best friend, I failed to see how much he was a part of me. With selfish acts, I didn't see past who I was in his eyes. I cannot forgive, and it's hard to live knowing how he felt inside. I cannot think of how to tell you. I just want to see you one more time so I could look into my best friend's eyes and you would be in mine. Sorry. That I am to take my last, I need to know that you'll be there waiting at the pearly gates, the memories we both could share. Tell me, Blue, is that you barking out my name? I cried the tears all these years. My broken heart remains the same. If Blue isn't waiting for me in heaven, I don't want to go. Sort of a revision of, Blue.
Yeah, no, it's a beautiful thought about, spend time with someone and feeling guilty, the time that you didn't get to spend. It's totally relatable. All my pets that I've missed in the past and things like that, they come up in my memories a lot, and there's always one thing or another that you feel like you could have done better or you didn't do, or, just circumstances that you wish were different. And it's unfortunate, but there's a sadness to it that it's very relatable and very, very, depressing, I think, you put a nice spin on it, talking about the memories and whatnot, because as much as you couldn't do, it's not that you didn't intend not to, it's just that's the way time worked out. And at the end of the day, really, there's never enough time. It feels that way. And it's encapsulated in this and makes it palatable and not like totally like, oh my God, I hate you, because it is sad and depressing, but at the same time it's got a bit of a happy note to it when you talk about, I miss you, and I think I'm in the end I'm probably going to see you again. So there's a wistful fondness in this too. It's beautiful.
It's the things you're not prepared and you don't think can turn that way that you carry that weighs the most, seems to me. Catches you by surprise.
Sweet Pea, can you comment for Hatter?
Hatter knows how I feel about Blue, and he knows that anything right about Blue is going to touch my heart, just like this one. And Hatter, I really like this. I like the novel you wrote, and I like the novella, so I think it's perfect.
I figured you would of all, most people would know how that all that means. I'll never get over it. I just won't, and that's it.
Yep.
Yeah, there's some things that just stay with you. And Debs, you get the last word on that one.
That's it.
Well, don't look now, but here comes a shameless promotion for Jay Hatter. Hatter, isn't this like a spinoff from the poem Blue that's in your newly published poetry book?
Why, yes, Deb. Thank you for saying. Yeah.
Where can I get that book?
Oh, you can get that book on Amazon.com. Just look up. Or you can go to the publishing page here on All Poetry. And on that page, you will find a little icon for Jay Hatter's newly published book, and click it, and it'll take you to the link where you can buy it for yourself. And you just might find out that there's a poem about Sweet Pea in there too. Just saying. But
all about the words you cannot say.
Yep.
The words you cannot.
That's the title of his amazing book. And like I said, you might just find a poem written about a sweet potato pie in there. But on a poetry note, very sentimental, right, Hatter, and some things just stick in your heart and in your gut, and you just they never go away. I totally agree with you. Awesome share.
Yeah. I got to gather all the best ones that I thought. And I appreciate you, Deborah. Without you, it wouldn't have been done. Thank you so much.
That was supposed to be a shameless promotion, not me begging for you to pat me on the back.
It just worked out that way, Deb.
I was just trying to, you know, shine a light on Hatter, but he had to shine it back.
he felt guilty not thanking you.
he thanked me. He thanked me in the book. He thanked me in his autograph. He thanked me all the time. You're welcome,
yeah.
Hatter. He's my pleasure.
And I can't reach out and give her a hug yet.
Aw.
My bad side of technology.
That's awesome. All right. I think we got Jenny up next.
I think I just put it on the board. I think. Let me go double check here now. Yeah. I thought I did. All right. Let me grab it, and I will put it on the board. The my wall is all of a sudden jumping like crazy. So where did here's Raconteur's topic, and here comes Jenny's poem. And where is a team of boys? Here it is. Okay. There's the link, and I'm running to the studio to push play. Here we go.
The hell of living a gaslighter. That's not what happened. You're overthinking it. Famous words of a narcissistic gaslighter. Still, we love and forgive them time and again. Going round in circles, the cycle never ends. Trapped in the same web of lies in this hell, hindered by the cunning art display they portray. Fear, faith, and hope is why one stays in hell. Doubt not the love and care received by the gaslighter. It's what they know. It's what they can give. Love blooms rare as the corpse flower. Stay at your own risk. Lovers, beware. Sly words are spoken, confusing minds alike. Sense of power and superiority they feel. Maybe not knowing they gaslight so well. Unpredictable, the narcissist gaslighter is, in just a few words, will leave you heartbroken. Use extreme caution, tread lightly, prepare for repeating history if in love already. End poem.
Wow. You know, I think sometimes people play off of your personality and kind of take advantage of it. And you know, she's kind of reminding me of that idea that, you know, it when you're sincere or whatever, and somebody puts that suggestion in your head, that it makes you feel like you just didn't do enough. Like, you know, well, it's really, you know, you didn't understand, you didn't read me right, you didn't, you know, take that extra step or take into consideration A, B, and C. It's one of those weird things that, you know, we feel we are ready to blame ourselves, you know, that whole doubt of, you know, is he right? Did I really not see or do? Or, it's very emotional dealing with something like that when someone's able to kind of fan the flames and make you believe something that's just, you know, wasn't the case. And we're so eager to swallow that lie sometimes that like, you know, the idea that they could be right, I think, is enough to just, you know, if they tickle that in a way that, yeah. I appreciate this, Jenny, that this was lovely and very emotional and well-written. Thank you for sharing it tonight. Let me get you some comments, starting with Deborah Lee.
Awesome. You know, towards the middle there, stay at your own risk. Lovers beware. Sly words are spoken, confusing minds alike. Sense of power and superiority they feel, maybe not knowing. They gaslight so well. There was another one that, right before it. Doubt not the love and care received by the gaslighter. It's what they know. It's what they can give. Love blooms rare as the corpse flower. I think this is amazing. It's gritty in your face. And I'm noticing here that it's an award-winning poem, and it's easy to see why. Fantastic piece.
She touches on a lot of emotion in that, I think. Beautifully said, Deb. Heather, can you comment for Jenny?
Yeah, I got a new word to call people. You gaslighting narcissist.
that the lovely combination of words.
It is. That was the comment I left for. It really stuck home. Stay at your own risk. Lovers beware. You know, this is a personal, very personal opinion. Love can kill, man. Love can kill you inside. It can, and it's should not ever be used as a weapon. And I'm just stuck on that gaslighting narcissist. That's a great line.
Yeah. It's really from an emotional place, especially when you're involved and entangled in the heart, as they say. For someone to take advantage of that is really insidious. And you know, the whole idea of scamming, gaslighting, I think plays on that belief that trust. Back from, you know, when they used to have the X-Files, that I want to believe, that expression rings so true in situations like this, I think.
Sometimes it's the non-communicative, the non-verbal. It's, you're not saying anything that can be just as bad. Like, I'm not wasting your time to talk to me or something, you know. I think I'd rather have it in my face verbally than nothing said.
Because there's that doubt that comes into play when they don't say something too. So it's just kind of a double-edged sword.
Yeah, you tend to beat yourself up when that happens. At least I did. I just imagination goes a little nuts.
They're playing off the insecurities. Absolutely, absolutely. And sweet pea.
I think that the famous words of "I don't know" or "I don't remember" and "that's not what happened" and you know,
"that's not how I remember it."
Yeah, I love that. "I don't." "That's not how I remember it." You know, her poem kind of goes into all of that, and the unconscious manipulator. I didn't do it consciously. You know, people living in those different circumstances. But, you know, her words, "stay at your own risk, lovers beware, sly words are spoken, confusing minds alike, sense of power and superiority they feel, maybe not knowing." And, you know, they're unpredictable. I think that she, you know, somebody that's lived through that, and, you know, I like how she says, "prepare for repeating history if in love already." So, you know, fear your faith and your hope is why one stays in hell. And it's just a depth of something that you can't tell somebody how to live there, how to stay there, how to go there, because you don't know how they feel. And, you know, it's easy to say, just please get out, go away. But you're not that person. You're not the one loving it. You're not the one loving that person. And you don't know what that person has done or the flip side of that coin, because there's always two sides to that coin. So you just move forward and go.
Great comments. I think the line that you touched on, great depth of emotion in it about the unconscious manipulator. It's, you know, it speaks to the person's nature. And if you don't see what you're getting into, sometimes you get sucked in so deep that you can't get out of it. And, you know, that speaks to the rest of the poem about, you know, repeating whatever and all of that, to me. Beautifully said. Great comment. Thank you again, Jenny. And I guess the rest are all either going to call in later or need readers, right? Did we have one from Pee-wee?
We do, but I'm pretty sure that he was not able to include a SoundCloud. So we have Rachel Greggs, we have Pee-wee, and then we have Pretty Bird. So... did you want me to read for Pee-wee or Sweet or someone?
I was thinking we could do Pee-wee next. I'm imagining he's on the board. I can't see myself.
He was there a few moments ago, so I would say yeah. So I put his link up.
Awesome.
I got the second.
You gotta run, Sweet.
Yeah. If you wanted to read for Pee-wee, I can do that, and then I gotta go.
All right, I'd appreciate that, Sweet.
All right, not a problem. I can do that.
You lending your voice?
All right, here I go. Let me go back here.
My head.
What happened?
I'm looking at the picture of Pee-wee's. Looking at Pee-wee's picture.
Oh yeah, that's a very interesting picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like it too. Yeah.
Get out of my
pretty
head.
Pretty cool, actually. Souvenir by Pee-wee Griffin. Can I get you out of my head? Fisted up, broken down, used, scattered, torn, frayed, and dead, emotionally, battery, life abused. Make me feel lost and forlorn, breath gently rolls me out to sea. And I now don this crown of thorns, bound and cast me to the deep. All this life that I would unled, a souvenir, the mirror of lack of the legacy you've given me. Now I'm here, smoking crack, for only this witching Titanic, sampled under the heel of scorn, plus all of my being, manic. From king of yet the unborn, these fathoms, final cracking dead, underwater, my dreams you drown, fed me radium, while my dinner led, bloody head, and spiked with crown. It's just all souvenirs from our trip, rock bottoms and mess still below, downward speaking ice cream skip, dragging down everyone you know.
Oh. Great read, Sweet. Thank you. For me, I think he honed in on that idea of, you know, when we start to feel guilty, you kind of carry it with us. And that idea that he opened with exemplifies that, you know, get you out of my head. Those comments that some people make, you know, in passing, they don't realize that how they can stay with someone, you know. It's like, oh, you're going to go out dressed like that? It's like now every time you grab your clothes, you hear that in your head sometimes, and it's like, you know, seriously, you've got a problem with how I dress or whatever, and that stays with you. And that's kind of the souvenir, like I was trying to describe in the idea from the beginning. He did a great example of that, I think, with this piece. I mean, the whole thing is screaming of those nagging thoughts that you know, come across so innocently, and they just, you know, they cut so deep and they stay with you, and it's almost impossible to shake them. This was lovely. I keep wanting to say Sweet Pea, damn it, you two aren't related. Sweet Pea, Pee Wee,
wow, never heard of him.
Not even close, sorry. But anyway, it was a great piece, Pee Wee, and I enjoyed it very much. And a lot of emotion behind it, and very unfortunately relatable, as I like to say. What'd you think?
I thought it had great cadence and rhyme to begin with. I mean, just wow. And, you know, the way it brought him down, you know, whatever it was like, you know, cause of my being manic, crown king of yet to be unborn. The drugs, the dreams, you know, I love the play on words where feed me radium with my dinner lead, bloody heads and spiked with crown. The whole thing with the alcohol and the play on words with meth and the, you know, the crack, and it's just so playful and so brilliant between, you know, how he played with the words and the double-edged sword and all the things he didn't hear, and it's yet so depressing, and, you know, all the bad habits and everything, just because someone was so damn mean, just, you know, emotional battery life abuse. Just get out of my head, man. Get off that train track that goes round and round and round, and everybody on board has something shitty to say to you. Yeah. Whether it's your mother, father, brother, sister, lover, you know, that conductor that's running that train, just crappy. So, yeah, great, great, great piece of work. Really liked it.
Excellent comment, Sweet. Hatter, what'd you think?
Yeah, having somebody, I'm stuck in that picture, but yeah, the whole addiction he describes can be related to a person too. To have somebody stuck in your dreams, you don't want to be there, can be just as damaging to yourself as anything else. The picture suggests everything he says in his words, making me feel lost and forlorn, careless, gently lulls me out to sea, and I now don this crown of thorns bound to the cast me into the deep. Have you ever woken up in a puddle of sweat, out of breath? Not in a good way.
Yeah, I thought it didn't explode. And Deb, you get the last word.
You know, sometimes when Pee Wee sits down with his pen and rips his soul out and uses it for the ink, it's mind-blowing. And his poem is every bit as mind-blowing as the art everybody keeps talking about, which Rack, it's just a like a sculpture of a face, but mm-hmm. there are hands trying to rip through the skin above the brains. Yes, and then you look at this, and I'm sorry, I can't help myself to describe it to you when these things pop up. But then you sit here and you listen to his words. For example, only whispers to sink the Titanic trampled under the heel of scorn, cause of all my being manic, crowned king of yet to be unborn. Just it's like potent. In your face, hard-hitting truth that a lot of people would just try to hide from everyone. And mm-hmm. these powerful pieces, if he can reach one person and make them think, it's worth, quote, bleeding these poems for. And I think this is another impressive, powerful, potent piece. Excellent share.
Great job, Pee-wee. Thank you.
Good night, everybody. I got to head out. Thanks for having me.
Bye, Smith.
Nice.
Bye.
Night.
Just look for
Bye, Rob.
On Thursday. Good night.
Yeah, see you soon. Bye-bye.
All right. I guess that brings us up to, what was her name?
Yeah, yeah, was that a bell? Hold on.
Pavlov?
Yep.
Wait a minute, am I supposed to drink now?
I did. I had a shot of scotch in front of me, so I had to have a belt.
Wait a minute, I didn't hear any barking.
Oh, that's right. I forgot to bark. Oh, that means I got to do it again. Hold on.
I hope that's good scotch.
Johnny Walker, that's not the best. Rough.
This turns into a night of drinking games. I wasn't prepared. I've only got coffee.
Boy, it's no Glenn Levitt, but still do.
Me too, Rack, but I just took a big gulp.
Contact yeah. high. Has anybody ever been to an intervention?
I've heard stories, but I've never actually been personally.
I was involved in one, and I walked through the door of my parents' house, and everybody's there. It was for me.
Oh, nice!
It wasn't drug related. It wasn't alcohol related. It was after my brain surgery. My memory was confused with non-memory. I was telling a story. I guess they had to set me down and go, this never happened. These things never happened. What's going on? Yeah, the whole family. I'd go up and go, do you remember when we were kids, you know, this is, they'd look at me funny. Then they all got together and they said, you know, no, none of this shit happened. So I went through a period of time where everything was sort of, couldn't trust my own memory.
Wow.
I think Sweet Pea's right sort of triggered that a little bit.
Ah, that's got to
be
rough. Yeah, I
was humble. I had to sit down and listen. Yeah. So, but that was a temporary thing.
That's not how I remember it, Hatter.
You can trust me now. Everything I say is right, yeah.
Yeah. All right. So we got two left, I think. Pretty Birds and one other?
I got one.
Yes, sir.
you got a second one you want to do, Hatter?
Yeah, the one I finished. Right before the show, but we can you know just to hang on to it.
All right. Let's get this other one. What was it? I'm sorry, Jeff, but what was it? Rachel.
Rachel. Yeah.
It's Rachel Greggs. And
oh, okay.
her poem is called Can't Keep the Money. And here we go. Reconstructed, contrived, 1800 village, our destination today. Learning to churn butter, identify trees, birch, smells like root beer, fragrant, inhale. Hands descend into the pockets of my shorts. Fingers grasp a mysterious strip of paper wedged in the lining of my left side. What can it be? My curiosity piques. I extract the note, a dollar. Hey, you ain't allowed to bring money on this trip. It said, so on the note my mom signed, a nosy classmate intrudes. I found it, I retort, dropping the bill on the dirt path. Pulse increases, fearful of being tattled on. Edges of the dollar curled upward, beckoning to be collected. Regretfully, I turn away and walk on to the next exhibit. End poem.
Wow. Relating it to money, that's kind of interesting. And then getting rid of it on the side of the road, wouldn't it be nice if it was that easy that we could just, like, you know, dump our souvenirs away and toss them away, the things that we walk around with, kind of like weights, I guess. You know, sometimes I think that there's that emotion attached to a thought like that. She really dug into that in a clever way. It's very, very layered. I can really appreciate the metaphor there. It's still open to a lot of interpretation, but at the same time, it's like, you know, she honed in on the idea of the trip portion in an excellent way, I think, and really emphasized, you know, oh, I'm just going to get, you know, I'm not allowed to take it with me, so I'm going to leave it, you know. And I came up with even a reason to be leaving it on the side of the road and waiting for somebody else to pick it up, which does tend to happen, although, you know, it doesn't normally relate back to the person, I think, getting rid of it. But, you know, it's just one of those things. I love what you did with this. This is excellent, Rachel. And that was a great read, Deb. Thank you. What'd you think?
Before I comment, I thought I might let you know that Sky is here.
Hey, Sky.
Hello. Hi, Sky.
Hello.
You made it just
We've
in time.
Missed you.
Hey, I just got out of work. I picked up some night shifts at my second job this week because I was on vacation on my first.
Kind of hanging on a little bit, you know. Went through a couple of poems.
Oh,
glad you're here.
Yeah, me too.
I will find you something as I get my computer going and hang out.
Sure. I also just put a note in your inbox, Sky. And as far as the poem for Rachel, I thought it was really cool how she reconstructed this. She's gone on this school trip and it said no money, so she like cleverly found it. And then you start worrying about one of the kids tattletaling on you and those regrets start to kick in and your conscience is like, oh man. I just think it was really cool. And then the edges of the dollar curled upwards, beckoning to be collected. And regretfully, I turned away and walked into the next. So, like, even if she found the dollar, she sort of lost it, too, and then regretted not letting the kids see her having it, you know. So I thought she did a cool job. And it was my honor to be her reader.
Awesome comment. Hatter, how'd you feel about this class trip?
Yeah, at first I thought she was using it as a metaphorical piece with the dollar returning, you know, revisiting an 1800 village. At first I thought, well, maybe it should say a $100 bill, but then I realized that she's a classmate. So, yeah, where'd you get fourth grade? Did you say fourth grade?
Did I miss it? I didn't say fourth grade.
Doesn't do any good to take money if you're at an 1800 village. That, what are you going to buy? But no, this is great. This is great. Either way, if she used it as a metaphorical piece or reality, that's a good point. It worked. The exhibit.
Yeah, it's a very, very, very layered piece. I enjoyed it. You didn't catch it, did you, Sky?
No, I did not. Sorry.
No, that's all right. You came when you came, and we're glad you're here. So you're just in time. did you put you on the spot? Did you find something?
I have not, because I'm just pre-reading Pretty Bird right now. But I will after that.
Okay. I think hers is actually the last piece, and hers and yours. So,
Well, Rick, I sent it to Sky to pre-look at, and then I figured while the rest of us were commenting on Pretty Bird, Sky could find one. So since I just read for someone, I thought maybe we could get Sky to read Pretty Bird.
Well, she's reading Pretty Bird. She can't dig through her own stuff, so we can't jump on her that badly. I mean,
it's okay. I could have had one ready for you. It's okay. We're good. I'm ready. I just wanted to relook over it. I'm literally, you want to talk about trinkets? I'm just going to go in my heartbreak folder and give you some.
You know, that's a good relation to the topic, to be sure. You know,
what do they call it? Tchotchke? What do they call it? Tchotchkes.
Mm.
Yeah.
So I'm ready whenever you want me to read for Pretty Bird.
If you're
it's
ready.
On the
okay, here we go. Dry champagne and a baked enamel wordsmith by Pretty Bird. Change my nail color every few days. Maybe new hands won't write old letters. Fancy French champagne tickle as I swallow the gilt in pink and white smile lines that match my clear princess. But my eyes don't shine alone. Bitter bubbles intoxicate lost dreams to half-life future regrets. Swallowing gilt and chrome powder sass that reflects all. Maybe then the hard lines will write themselves in error, and the truth will be lost in a black and red umbra that still holds glitter. Lavender hearts bleed indigo on paper and smile, Easter eggs. Happy hands don't always equal better phrasing. What to do to bring a robin's egg and pink pastel? Can't paint innocence back in time. Wonder Woman blue with golden lasso flecks. Inspire strength. Mother of Pearl makes the most elegant gunsmith. My bowling ball is pearl white. It's everywhere and nowhere. A shadow of a shade that takes too many layers to hide the truth. It writes in cursive and micro point black ink. Always sure, always close enough to feel right. Today they breathe. I'll try not to break them. At their most vulnerable, imperfection and weakness, honesty and intelligence, masked by clouded emotions and too much yesterday to feel present. Words come in shaky waves of what no one wants to believe, but I keep writing until someone somewhere gives them value and home.
That's a beautiful read, Sky. Thank you. You know, it's funny, I gravitate towards the kitchen, so I hear baked enamel, I'm thinking cookware, but I recognize all of the colors of nail polish, even though I'm a guy, because, you know, robin's egg is kind of obvious, and you know, that kind of leads you in that same direction for some of the other references that she made, talking about her fingernails and whatnot, and I just thought it was a very clever way of... bringing that idea into this, you know, and turning it around and making it about what she writes and giving it value, just, you know, amplifies it for me. I really just admire the way that she writes and puts her thought process down without, you know, leading you by the nose, as it were. It's open enough that people are going to read it and go in different directions, and it's still straightforward enough that, like, you know, she gets her point across, and she always does it in a way that's just so elegant and eloquent. Thank you, Pretty Bird, for sharing that tonight. Hatter, what'd you think?
Yeah, I love Bitter Bubbles. That was great. That made me smile. Bitter Bubbles. also, real quick, whoever created Wonder Woman could have got a better weapon than a lasso to carry a rope that's about four feet long, you know. But I do like what you said about the nails. I, being an artist, learned how to do nails because it's nail art. It's very artful. There are some dynamite things they do with fingernails. So I learned how to. Not something I share too much.
I think she was using the nails for, like, emotions, you know. Yeah. At one point, her nails were naked. Yeah. And things like that. So, you know, she had all the different colors that, you know, I think people, that's somebody's job is to sit there and say, you know, oh, that's robin's egg blue. And they get paid for that. It's just like, come on, man.
Just to hold women's hands all day long. Hold a woman's hand. Come here. Come over here.
Anyway.
Bad job.
Thanks, Hatter. Sky, you read it. Did you want to comment?
Yeah, of course. I thought it was brilliant, and I love the way that it's paced. I hope I read it okay. She has this, I want to say, this earthy way of writing like this. Maybe that's because she has, like, a spoken word. But it's very, I don't know, I want to say earthy because when you read it, it feels very conversational and very intimate. And to me, those have earth tones to it, very tangible and grounding because of the nature of what she writes, but then again, also because of what she's saying, the message behind the piece. And yet, of course, it is still filled with metaphors, sometimes. Poetical metaphors can make things cloudy and hard to reach. But the way that she pairs the two is absolutely brilliant. I could go into Wonder Woman with you, Hatter, but I will not tonight. could go into that, but I won't. I really loved how she brought that in there because when you can't paint in a sit back in time, Wonder Woman blue, gold glass of black inspires strength. And of course, to me, speaking of, you can't get what once was lost and have all these expectations, and we have these heroes and that we admire and we find strength from. And then, of course, there is a losing of that a little bit, I think, as we grow older. I really liked also the idea of bitter bubbles intoxicating lost dreams to have past life future regrets. The idea of these tiny little bubbles coming up in the water at one at a time, like dreams that are being lost kind of in that body of water. And to think of it in retrospect, you know, when you're going through those motions, you don't always realize what's being poisoned. And, you know, you may feel like something's right, but you don't always know the effect till you have that hindsight in the future. I just really, I mean, I could take it apart more than that, you know, it's a great piece, and it's packed with, I mean, every line is packed with thought. Really well done.
And just to add one little thing to two, when you, I guess, judge champagne, I think it's by the amount of bubbles. So, you know, that added to that for me as well.
Yeah.
Anyway.
We should have a wine tasting night.
Oh, roof.
I don't know what that is.
That's the bell.
That's
the Pavlov's
dog.
I think Deb's playing with Hatter. Deb, can you comment for Pretty Bird?
Absolutely. You know, no matter what she sends in or brings or reads for us, or somebody else reads, but she has this style so singular that it's easy to tell that it's her. Nobody writes like she does. And you look at lines like, Mother of Pearl makes the most elegant gun grips. And you just think about that, you know. I mean, it's true. They make beautiful gun grips, but there's just a sense of attitude there. And my bowling ball is pearl white. It's everywhere and nowhere. It's just the wording is always so brilliant. And at the end there, today they breathe. I'll try not to break them at their most vulnerable, imperfections and weaknesses. Honesty and intelligent, masked by clouded emotions and too much yesterday to feel the present. Words come in shaky ways of what no one wants to believe, but I keep writing until someone somewhere gives them value. Hun, we give them more value than you could imagine. And though Sky did a beautiful job with the read, we missed your voice.
Yeah.
Oh, and on a total side note, Sky, last night on the Anzac special with AP, it was a really, really powerfully emotional show. Everybody did a lot of research, and it seemed like we were all sent into really powerful directions. And Hatter wrote this amazing piece full of statistics that were so sobering that everybody was blown away. But in the middle of his serious, powerful poem, he still could not help himself from saying, sky, 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 when the word sky popped up in that poem. I just thought I'd mention that.
Yeah.
I did it to myself.
I love it. It's fine. Absolutely love it.
So wrapping up, Hatter's got one on the board, and then whatever one Sky finds.
Sky, are you looking to hit the sheets and get to bed? You can.
No. I'm here the whole show. I don't know when that is, but I'm sitting here. I'm here. I'm on this late night track because I'm going to be really angry when it comes next week. But I'm on this different schedule. But right now, I picked up 3 to 11 shifts. So I literally just got out of work. So, yeah, so I'm here. I have time. Thank you.
All right, Catter. You could do
Nothing
your...
Yeah, we need to do these last two since I
got to. I'm
sorry, Dev? I said I don't want to be a pain in the tushy, but we got to do these last two because I got to go.
Okay.
I'll read real fast. You don't have to comment.
No, don't read real fast.
I regret the most is what this one is. It was like this. I do not know what it was I had, imagining all that could be really bad. On the shelf, my story is told of ribbons and trophies, some made of gold. It spoke of the highs, but not of the lows. This bothered me. Why? I had to know. But down the rabbit hole I go to find what upset me. So among the winds, I found a box, a collection of forgets tied in a knot. It was not when I was there. It was when I wasn't that didn't seem fair. Those events I could have but did not go there on the shelf was nothing to show. I remember the times I had to find a memory I did not share, all due to me was not willing to be, taking a chance to compare. The little things and the offerings that build your character up, no memory of what it could be or maybe just good luck. But there next to gold was an empty space that resembled the question marks upon my face. Why did I not go to do that thing that, with nothing to stop me, I'm now regretting? Not of the losses or the failures I had, but the things I could have that makes me feel bad. I thought I hated when made a fool, those embarrassing moments that made me less cool. I do not regret any souvenirs I might have won, faces on the shelf, those I had never done. That's what I regret the most.
Yeah, that's so relatable. Oddly, I think I like the blue one a little better, but this is a cool thought too. You know, I could appreciate the missed opportunities. I think is what you're kind of talking about there, and you know, regretting some things. It's again.
Yeah, they ask the elderly people of their lives when they're in the 80s, 90s, towards the end of their life, what would they regret? 99% of them said it was the things they didn't do, not anything they did. So that's sort of what I wanted to put on there. But if Deb's got to go, you don't have to ask for any more. Let's just get the other one read.
Well, I had a nice little brevity. I loved your poem, Hatter, and I will comment on it.
No,
and mine's just silly. I don't even need a whole bunch of comments either. So mine.
Comment. Please don't not comment. She just said she was gonna
comment.
Yeah, put me in my place.
Well, I thought this was a great poem. And among the winds, I found a box, a collection of forgets tied in a knot. I love that play on forget-me-nots. I actually have a quilt above my bed, the garden, and it's woven in it. It's a box of forget-me-nots, and it has a little poem on it that my mother gave me, and I just have it there. And so I just really loved that little tie-in. I thought it was clever, and it's those little nuances of cleverness that I appreciate in poetry. And then, of course, this one, too, was my favorite. On a shelf, my story is told, a ribbon trophy, some made of gold. And yet they're not all. I like the question as well. You know, this bothered me. Why? Because I think questions really bring in the reader on a more personal level. Really well done.
Thank you, Sky.
And if you got any shows coming up to push before you read, Sky?
Yeah, I'm on, what's today, Tuesday? I'm on Thursday at 8. We are doing the last bit of The Hobbit, the last installment, 8 o'clock, writing new themes, characters, and our quotes. Quotes, you can go anywhere you want, even if off topic, from the topic itself. So that's about it. All right, so mine's called Oh Little Spider. And if you know me, I kill all my plants, but some survived last summer outside. The cucumbers survived. But I loved this little plant, and I know that it's silly, but I had it in my office for a long time, for like a year and a half. And then I brought it home after I quit, and it was sitting on my desk, and it died in my house within like a month. I don't understand. So this is called Oh Little Spider, because it was a spider plant. Oh Little Spider, who in my house refused to grow, your leaf once brightly springing so. In my parlor garden, bare of any green, there sits a pot of soil where once you have been. And I regret killing it. I was really attached to that plant.
Awesome.
I really loved it. I just want a spider plant. It's my favorite one. I just want one.
No, you make a beautiful point in a very eloquent way, I think, you know, and the quick preamble explaining about, you know, I brought it to the office, and then when I brought it home, it died. You know, it's like, you know, now that just doubled the agony. It's like, well, now I know why you feel guilty, because, you know, it's easy to convince yourself that it's your fault that when you got it home, you know, should have left well enough alone. I should have left it behind so it could live. Oh my God! Yeah.
Well, I kept it alive for a year and a half in my office, but my office had better light. I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm blaming it on the light.
Well, you know, it was very, very relatable. That you know, the feeling of guilt of I brought it home and I killed it. I killed it. You know, we could have named it Kenny, but I don't think South Park does that joke anymore. So, anyway. Deb, can you comment for Sky before we close out?
Absolutely. My heart's breaking for Sky. I'm looking at the picture, and it's just like, it's
I
a
just
huge puzzle. Yeah, and I'm sitting there, and in my parlor garden, bare of any green, there sits a pot of soil where once you had been. And I'm like, I don't know. I just feel like the spider plant broke your heart. And earlier, before you called in, they were talking about how sometimes the biggest guilt trips come from ourselves. And I think the Sky's brevity here is a perfect example of how she's torturing herself over the guilt of killing this spider plant. So it is true. Some of the hardest guilt trips to get over are the ones that we pile on our own shoulders. But Sky, I'm sure that spider plant is somewhere in a better place now, waiting for you at the
Greenberg. We named it Bartholomew, son of Gondor.
I'm sure that Bartholomew is waiting for you, and that there's some little butterflies sitting on one of his leaves right now, and they'll both see you again someday. Rest in peace, Bartholomew.
Thank you, Deb.
Oh, man. My spider plant isn't in heaven. I don't want to go.
Awesome. All right. I guess that brings us to a close. I'd like to thank everybody that took the time to write and called in and hung out and just even thought about it in passing. We'll see you guys again next month, and thanks again.
One thing.
Go ahead.
Did somebody feel tomorrow night? I was supposed to put up a music that I was going to do Paul McCartney. Is there somebody filled in that tomorrow night?
It would need to be nine 6 year time, but that's fine.
Okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, tomorrow night we're going to celebrate Paul McCartney.
Did you hear Harry Belafonte died today?
I did. Debish told me.
Yeah.
AP told me. Yeah.
But anyway, sorry. I guess that brings tonight to a close. We got Paul. Oh, Deb, do you got next Monday personal prompts? Anything in between?
I do. Next Monday is the quotes from the poet J.C.A. And I chose some of his words and some really cool art for everyone to pick from. And, Rack, anytime that you think you want to participate on a Monday, I'll be happy to read the quotes to you. Maybe it would make something that you have in your library spring to mind, and I can load it up for you.
Yeah.
I do have that file filled with your recording still. But I found an artist, Joachim G. Pinkawa, and that's where I chose all the art from for Jay's show. And he's actually taking the night off from work, and he's going to hang out with us at that show. So I'm looking forward to
that's
doing
awesome.
That with him, and it's going to be at 10. So, like I said, if you want, I'll read you those. I can't talk. I will read you those quotes.
All right, then.
Sing them to you.
I don't have the bell to make her.
No.
I don't think we can get her to sing.
No.
I guess it's that time, though, where I'd like to thank everybody that wrote for the show, thought about the show, showed up for the show. And, of course, we couldn't do this without the A.P. Taylor Foundation. So thank you again, A.P., for making this possible. And thank you, Deb, for making me look good. It's not an easy job. So I had a blast.
I beg to differ. You do a great show, and I mean this with all due respect. You have a gift of gab, and it makes the shows more fun. And I didn't mean to like growl, but I do have to go. But fabulous show.
Did you growl? I didn't hear you.
Well, a little bit, but anyway, just one last time.
Don't have to go home. Can't stay here.
Jesus.
Oh. All right, you guys. Love you, Scott.
Oh, Lordy Lord, Scotch.
Good night, everybody.
Sure. Good night.
Push the button. Thank you for using Blog Talk Radio.